You're listening to the weekly sermon podcast from Liberty Family Church. For more information about our church, head to the website libertyfamilychurch.net.au.
Laura shared a couple of days ago on Good Friday around why it was that Jesus had to die. Laura shared that it was through Jesus' death on the cross that the payment for our rebellion against God was dealt with once and for all. That's what sin is. It's rebellion against God. And the payment for our sin, what it was that we deserved, was death, which was paid for by Jesus with his own life for ours. And, you know, it was, but I think all too often we kind of stop there in the story, don't we? We stop there with the cross. And we reflect on how Jesus died to pay the price for our sin. But we often neglect reflecting on the fact that Jesus didn't only die to pay the price for our sin. Jesus died to make dead people come alive. Yeah? Jesus didn't only die to pay the price for our sin. Jesus died to make dead people come alive. Jesus died to see people, to see each of us really alive, enjoying relationship with God now, and as we were talking about this morning through our time of singing, for eternity as well, forevermore. So, today, on Resurrection Sunday, I want to reflect on what this new life looks like, what it actually means. Abundant life, as Jesus himself called it. In John 10:10, what does it actually look like? What freedoms can be ours to enjoy if we place our faith in Jesus Christ and embrace the new life that he offers? That's what we're going to reflect on today. So how about we pray as we open his word and celebrate the new life that is on offer through Christ and his resurrection. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much on this Easter Sunday as we've reflected on Good Friday, the price that you paid, that you willingly paid, your death, your burial. And then today, Lord, as we reflect on your rising from death to life, we're just in awe of you, Jesus. We are truly in awe of you. And so, God, I pray today that as we look at what for some of us will be very familiar truths, we pray by your Spirit that you would just bring them home in new and fresh ways to us, God. We want to be moved by the reality of the good news of the gospel. We don't want to have hearts that go, oh, yep, I've heard that before. No, no, no. We want a fresh touch from you today, God. And I pray also, Lord, for people seeking spiritual truth here or online, Lord, that you would meet them right where they're at as well, and that you would bring revelation to their hearts of just who you are and what faith in you would actually mean for them and their life too. So we pray, God, we need you to do this. I can't do it. No one else can do this, but you can do this work. So would you do it today, Lord, as we celebrate your resurrection from death to life? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2, 1 to 10. If you got your Bible, you can check it out. If not, it's up there on the screen behind me. And this is the Apostle Paul writing. He says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and we're by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You know, this is a wonderful passage. This is a great passage to reflect on any time, but it's especially a great passage to reflect on at Easter. It's a beautiful summary of who we are without God and who we are or who we could be if we were to place our faith in Jesus Christ. Paul explains that without God, we're dead. It's what we reflected on Good Friday. Without God, we're dead. We might appear to be living, as Laura used the illustration of the toys, that they look like they're alive, but if they don't have the batteries in, they're in the form of a toy, but they don't work, do they? Just like us. If we don't have God within us, the Spirit of God within us, we might look alive, but we're actually not truly alive as we could be with faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul explains that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were following the course of the world. We were carrying out the desires of our body and mind. We were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. I don't know about you. I don't like thinking about that. But that's what Paul says. It's pretty sobering, isn't it? He says, aside from God, this is how you are. This is who you are. Not what we want to think when we think about ourselves, eh? And Laura reflected on these realities in detail. And just as Laura said, this is why Jesus had to die. This is exactly why Jesus had to die. All of us had gone our own way. We've all rebelled against God, and we deserve what's coming to us for our rebellion. And Romans 6:23 tells us what we get for our rebellion, what we deserve. It says, for the wages of sin is death. Death is what each of us deserve. That's our rightful wage, if you like, for our rebellion. But here's some good news. Paul goes on in Ephesians 2:4-5 to say this. He says, but God. Who doesn't like one of those buts in church, hey? But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, what did he do? He made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. And then that second part of Romans 6:23, it shares a very similar line. Paul writes that the wages of sin is death. And what? But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Friends, that is the good news of the gospel. That's the good news of the gospel. We were dead, but we can be made alive. We were following the course of the world, walking in opposition to God, but through Jesus, we can be aligned with God completely. Isn't that good news? It's not what we did. It's not what we could do now or could perhaps manage through our efforts and achievements or service into the future. The way to find and embrace true freedom and life is on Jesus and on him alone. As Paul writes in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by what? For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God. Not a result of works, not a result of something we could do so that none of us could boast. We've got nothing at all to boast about. Nothing at all. We can find, we can enjoy, we can fully live life now and forever for one reason and one reason alone. Because Jesus died and rose again triumphantly to new life. And we can be partakers in that. We can benefit from that if we pursue relationship with Jesus. It's all because of Jesus, friends. Paul explains in Romans 4:25 what Jesus' death and resurrection achieved. He writes, that Jesus was delivered up for our trespasses, for our sin, for our rebellion, and he was raised for our justification. That's a fancy word. It basically just means so that we'd be made right with God. I really like how one Christian thinker explains the implications of this. He writes, God raised Jesus from the dead for our justification, to be made right with God. The fact that Jesus was raised after he died shows that God's justice had been satisfied. You know, what did God's justice require? Payment for sin. And Jesus' death paid sin once and for all. It was satisfied. It was done on Jesus again, yeah? Jesus had paid the full price for our sin and had been released from death. His resurrection also makes it possible for Christ's righteousness to be credited to our account as well. It is only through Christ that we can be justified, made right with God. It is our faith in the God who provided for our forgiveness and justification through Christ that allows us to be counted as righteous before God. Yeah? Jesus' one-time death and Jesus' one-time resurrection from death opened the way for anyone who would place their faith in him to walk in newness of life. That's what Scripture says. As Paul writes in Romans 6:4, anyone who places their faith in Jesus has been buried therefore with him, with Jesus, by baptism into death on the cross, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, out of the tomb, out of the grave, we too might walk in newness of life. So what does it mean to walk in newness of life? The Hebrew word for walk here is the word halak. And it does refer to walking or departing or proceeding or moving, but it actually has a deeper meaning than that. Halak refers to living in a certain way or going about life in a certain manner. So when Paul's encouraging us to walk in newness of life, he's not just saying get up, move, go about. He's actually saying that our lives and our hearts will be shaped by Jesus to go in a certain way. Does that make sense? So to actively move in a certain direction, to follow Jesus and live out his kingdom priorities with the help of his Holy Spirit, of course. To grow as people of love, as people of hope, people who are truly free, truly alive, people who reflect Jesus here, there, and everywhere. That's what Paul's talking about in walking in newness of life. That is newness of life. That's the abundant life, moving in step with God each day, doing his will with joy, enjoying closeness and rewarding relationship with God, our Father, walking in the true freedom that he's won for us. After all, as Paul writes in Ephesians 2:10, he says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Many other verses in Scripture back up this line of thinking. Here's it in a nutshell. Life is truly lived. We are only fully alive when we are walking with Jesus. That's what Scripture makes clear. We're only fully alive. Life is truly lived when we're walking closely with Jesus. Paul writes in Colossians 2:6, for example, therefore, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so what? So walk in him. And Galatians 5:25, if we live by the Spirit, what are we to do? Let us also keep in step with the Spirit. And as we sang this morning, praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. If we're talking about the Spirit, that's God, isn't it? God the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. We're called to walk in step with God, to walk with him, That is abundant life. That is life lived as it was intended. And that is life that's possible only through Jesus Christ. Let's just really hear this today. Maybe this is the first time that you've ever actually considered this for yourself. Jesus didn't only die to pay the price for our sin and then for us to have that knowledge and then gloomily walk towards heaven one day as our bodies break down and, you know, one day we finally get there to the grave and then, oh, finally, I'm free. That's not why Jesus died, friends. Jesus died not only to pay the price for our sin, but he died to set people free. He died to make dead people come alive. To see people set on his path of freedom as they do what? As they embrace and walk closely with him in this life now. All right. Let's get to answering the question I posed at the start. What is new life? What is abundant life, as Jesus calls it in John 10:10? What does it actually look like? There are, you could have 50 points on this. I've got three for you so you can remember them today. But yeah, well, here's the first anyway. New life with Jesus means freedom from condemnation. New life with Jesus means freedom from condemnation. What have I got here, kids? Do you want to see what this... No, just joking. What? See a brick coming? What have I got? It's a backpack. It's nice and clean, isn't it? You can see that I've used this recently. Well, do you know what happens? Many people, they go through life with a backpack on, don't they? And over the journey, we actually put things in the backpack. We carry burdens, heavy things, with us wherever we go. Maybe, bricks. Do you want to help me? I'll help you. They're a bit heavy. All right, just this one. Do you want to pop that in the bag? And what happens is, it might be something like, we're carrying something heavy, like a weight of something we regret, or maybe another one of thinking of something we shouldn't have said, or maybe even something we should have said. Judah's going for a brick too. Nice. Or guilt, or shame. And then what happens? Judah, you want to put that on your back? No? good call. And then what happens? I've been practicing for this. Then what happens? We put this on our back and we go around in life and we're weighed down, aren't we? It's so hard under the burden of all the things that we're carrying around. Weighs us down and, you know, carrying these weights, they just drag us down. What happens if you keep adding things to a backpack, kids? What happens? Oh, it gets too heavy and then it would break. Well, that's true. It does get heavy. And you know what? These burdens, they slow us down. I can't walk as fast as I normally can. And then Jesse's really worried. All of a sudden, life kind of doesn't feel as good. Life becomes a bit of a drag even. And you know what's really sad, kids? You know what's really sad? We don't need to go around in this life with a backpack full of heavy burdens, heavy things. We can, because of Jesus, do you know what we can do with this? We can get rid of it. We can throw it off. And we can never carry these weights again. Isn't that a good thing? Whew. Why can we do that? because of what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 8, 1 to 2. He says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ Jesus, it just means you've trusted Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Whew. Praise God. If you love Jesus, this is as simple as this is. If you're here today and you're seeking spiritual truth, maybe you're wondering if Christianity is true, if it's something that you can depend on. It's as simple as this. If you love Jesus, if you place your faith in him, you get given the new gift of new life, and then you are free. You are free. Those things that we so often carry, the things in life that weigh us down, past regrets, mistakes, angry words, things we've said, things we should have said, things we've done, things maybe we should have done, all those things can be released from us as we walk with Jesus. You can live free, truly alive in Christ, freedom from condemnation, guilt and shame, freedom from all crippling weights we so often carry. Isn't that good news, friends? Jesus died and rose to new life so you can walk in newness of life. And newness of life means freedom from the crippling power of condemnation. Praise God. I need a water after that. Do you reckon that dinted the floor, Cam? That's the first. So new life with Jesus means freedom from condemnation. And here's the second. New life with Jesus means freedom from Satan's power. Whether you follow Jesus, whether you are seeking spiritual truth, I'm sure you'd agree with me that we don't exist in just a material world, do we? This world is not merely material. There's more going on in this world than we even realize half the time at a deeper spiritual level. And you know, this is the reason why in our day and age we see many, many people searching for meaning, searching for purpose, searching for truth in all sorts of different ways. And even people who will tell you that they've had spiritual encounters of and are searching through their searching. And here's the thing. Jesus not only claimed to be the Son of God, but he demonstrated that he was the Son of God when he said that he'd die and rise again to new life after being handed over to the Romans, which he did. If you think in history, many, many people over the years have made outlandish claims, haven't they? They've said, I'm the Messiah. And in 30 days, you know, once we all drink the Kool-Aid, then we'll all rise again and Jesus will be back and I'm Jesus. And what happened? They stay dead, don't they? They stay dead. Many people have claimed to do remarkable things, mass healings and all sorts of things. But Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the only one who did exactly what he said he would do. And that was to rise again from death to life. You know what? Because he did, we can actually, one thing we can do is we can take him at his word, can't we? If he did exactly what he said he did, then it's pretty safe to say that anything else he says, we probably should pay attention to, and it would be good for us to take on in our own lives, yeah? Jesus in John 10:10 said this. He says, the thief, that's Satan, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus is all about life. Jesus is all about life. And Jesus is saying here in this passage, he's reminding us really simply that Satan is all about death. Yeah? What does Satan want? He wants to steal. He wants to kill. He wants to destroy. He wants to see you weighed down wearing that backpack till your dying days. That's what he wants. He wants to see you burdened with guilt and shame. He wants to see each one of us, every person in the world, separated from God, to see us living as dead women and dead men, living our own lives, trusting in ourselves and not in Jesus. And maybe if you're a follower of Jesus here, listen to this. Satan even wants us living in a place where we've come to faith in Jesus, but we don't fully walk with him in newness of life. We walk back in the old way, put the backpack back on and try and do it ourselves. That's one of Satan's main tricks. He's not that clever. He's got a few tricks and he uses them over and over again. But here's the thing. As Paul writes to encourage believers in Colossians 1:13, he says, God has delivered us from the domain of darkness, who rules that? Satan, and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Jesus delivered us from Satan's power when he rose again to new life. We're no longer ruled, or, friends, we no longer need to be influenced by the power of Satan. We're actually free from those other spiritual forces of evil and darkness through faith in Jesus Christ, and we can in Jesus' name say, get away from me, Satan. You have no right, no influence over my life, yeah? We're free to live abundantly, fully alive in this life, in the kingdom of Jesus, as we pursue relationship with Jesus. Amen? Praise God. That's the second. So new life with Jesus means freedom from Satan's power. And here's the final one today. New life with Jesus means freedom to enjoy God. Freedom to enjoy God. Laura referenced Christian pastor and theologian John Piper the other day. He says, Christ is most glorified in us when we are what? Most satisfied in him. In other words, God is most pleased when we are close with him, because that's what he wants. That's what he wants. Sin, mankind's rebellion, kept people from God. Jesus rose from death to life, making the way for people to draw near to God once again. Paul puts it this way in Hebrews 10:9. He says, we can confidently enter the holy places, that's God's very presence, because of the blood of Jesus. Jesus' death and resurrection frees us to approach God. Jesus' death and resurrection doesn't only free us to approach God, but it frees us to relate with God, to relate to God. Galatians 4:7 paints a picture of our new identity through faith in Jesus. Paul writes, so you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. And that word there, son, that's an all-inclusive thing. If you think back to those ancient days, who was the one who inherited all of that his father had? The son, the firstborn son. What God's actually saying here is that all of you have been made that heir through faith in Jesus Christ. All the women have been made that heir in Jesus Christ. All the men and the firstborn or the eighthborn, or whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we are all sons in that traditional sense, yeah? God doesn't keep his distance from us. Because of Jesus, not only can we come near to God, not only can we approach him, but we are actually welcomed in to his own family. Because of Jesus, we are moved from death to life, from a place of slavery to a place of family, as daughters and sons of God. And this is amazing. This new life with Jesus means freedom to enjoy God, not just while we're living and breathing in this life, but also in the life to come. As 1 John 4:11 to 13 declares, it says, and this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Abundant, rich life, true life is found in Jesus and is offered to all, every single person on the planet. Why? Because of how good they are? Not at all. Because of the goodness and the grace of God. The question for all of us today really is this. Are we actually alive? I think so. I like that. Are we actually alive? Are we truly living? Are we, as Laura illustrated on Good Friday, existing in the form of a live human, but batteryless, so to speak? Or are we truly alive, fully human, with the power source at work and present within us? Laura referenced this great book, C.S. Lewis's The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, and we'll finish with that in a moment. But I wanted to share another gem with you from C.S. Lewis. This is a quote from his classic book, Mere Christianity. Lewis writes, this is kind of summing up his whole contention. He's saying, I'm trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him, that's Jesus. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with the man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come up with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. Friends, Jesus declared that he was God. Jesus demonstrated from rising from death to life that he was God. And Jesus longs that every person here, every person watching online, every single person in the entire world would come to personally experience relationship with him as God. Jesus says to us today what he's always said to people. Jesus says, this is John 14:6. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Friends, new life is right there for us to enjoy. New life, we can walk in it. We can walk in newness of life now and forevermore if, and this is all it takes, if we place our faith in Jesus Christ, in who he is, in what he's done, in exactly who he claims to be because he is who he says he is. And that's all we need. We can embrace newness of life if we place our faith in Jesus Christ. If you're seeking today, will you do that today? Will Easter Sunday 2024 be the first day of the rest of your life, where you come truly alive, fully alive, as God has always intended? And maybe you're already following Jesus. Will you open yourself afresh today, to receive and then to walk in newness of life as you recommit yourself to following Jesus and giving him praise all the days of your life? Friends, Jesus is ready and waiting with the gift of abundant life, with the gift of eternal life you were designed to always enjoy with him. Will you turn to him today and receive it with gratitude and walk in new life with him? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the wonder of new life in Christ. We thank you, Jesus, that you did not come just to die, but you came to die and then raised again to new life. and in doing so, making the way possible for dead people to become truly alive. And we thank you, Jesus, that unlike what we so often think, oh, it's on us. I just need to be good. I need to do things that are honorable and good and all that sort of thing. But Jesus, you know that none of us are good. None of us are good at all. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that is why, Jesus, you came as the perfect sacrifice to die once, to destroy death that separated man from God, and then to raise again to new life, to draw everyone who would place their faith in you to come and embrace new life, and then to walk on in newness of life with your very Spirit residing within us. And we thank you for that, Jesus. We would never have the words to thank you enough for what you have done for us. But we celebrate you today. Thank you that you've made the way for us to be transferred from death to life. And thank you, Jesus, that in relationship with you, that is where we come truly alive. We thank you, Jesus, and we pray all of this in your name. Amen.